All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Genesis, chapter 17. All right, everybody got it? All right, look at verse 1, please. The Bible says, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine," so 99 years old. Anybody here 99 years old? John? All right, three of you are. All right, that's good to know. Do what? You got a birthday coming up, Gina? Yeah? So you're working on it, are you? Halfway? Okay, so she's halfway to 99. All right, you do the math. Now, just think of this, folks. All right, now, again, don't just read and blow over things, okay? Stop and think about what you're reading. Abraham was 99 years old. I hope I'm able to walk if I'm 99 years old. I doubt I will be. I'll never make it to 99, but if I do, I hope I'm able to walk. Well, Abraham was in good shape for 99 years old. But notice what happened here. It says, "The Lord," and that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So that means Jehovah, the God of the covenant. "The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him," now watch this, "I am the Almighty God." That's El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. "Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." Catch that. Thou shalt be a father to many nations. You might want to underline the word many. "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many," there it is again, "nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful," underline the word fruitful, "and I will make nations," plural, "of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an," what's the next word? "Everlasting covenant." Now, folks, think about this. God made this covenant with Abraham all those years ago. And if that covenant in verse 7 was an everlasting covenant, do you know what that means? That means it's still lasting today. It did not go away. All right? It's an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I want to speak to you tonight on the name El Shaddai. Names are very important in the Bible. Very important. Proper names in the Bible are usually descriptive of a person's character. All right, you can see that with, I guess probably the easiest one to see it with is Jacob. His name means tricksters, supplanter, and that's what he was. So God had a hand in naming him, and so names are important. We have learned that through the years, that names mean something. And we find that God has several names for himself that he reveals to us as we read the Bible. All right, several names. And just like when names in the Bible for people are a description of that person's character, almost every time, these names that God reveals to us in the Bible are names that reveal his character to us. People know me by a lot of different names. My children know me as Dad. My grandchildren know me as Papa, the best Papa in the world. My wife knows me by a lot of names. I don't have time right now. And then you know me as Pastor. There are umpteen preachers across the country who know me as Doctor. I always said that's like putting onion on a whipped cream, or whipped cream on an onion, I'm sorry, but... I always say, just call me preacher. Just call me Pastor Norris. I earned that degree. I have one honorary degree. I don't know why they gave it to me. I don't have a clue. But they gave me one, so I took it. I put it on the shelf. It looks good. But it hadn't helped me one bit. But each name reveals something about me, all right? It shows you a part of who I am, okay? I'm Pastor, I'm Papa, I'm Hey Dummy, all right? I have a lot of names, all right? And those reveal a different part of my makeup. Now, I want you to look at this first verse, and I want you to see that God reveals in verse 1 to Abraham, he says, I am the Almighty God. The Almighty God. Now, the Hebrew word for this is the word El Shaddai. E-L and then S-H-A-D-D-A-I. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. All right? Now, when you break those words down, we all know what El means. I've taught you that. It means God. El is God. If you fly into from New York City into Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, you get on Israel's airline, their only airline, and it's called Al Airlines. So God's Airlines. They've never had a problem. They've never had an accident. They've never been hijacked. They've, nothing. Nothing. But if you know the security you got to go through to get on that plane, you'll understand why. All right? So El means God. All right? Then the next word, Shad. The word Shad means breasted. Breasted. All right, like a woman who nurses a child. She is nursing, she's feeding from her breast. And then you have, at the end of it, dai, D-A-I, two D's in the word, shad, and then dai. And dai means many or multiple. All right? Many or multiple. So what God is revealing to us in this name, El Shaddai, is He is the one who has no limitations. Amen. He has no limitations. He is, now think with me, He is not limited to one child, but can nourish and provide for and take care of many or multiple children all at the same time. He is unlimited. He is the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the one who can nurse, the one who cares, the one who can caress, the one who can provide for His little ones. I don't know if you've ever seen, and I'm sure you have somewhere along the way, I don't know if you'll remember it or not, but if you've ever seen the pictures of the of false gods from other religions, like Hinduism especially, but in many other of the world's religions, you will notice when you see a portrait or a picture of their gods, and you will notice that they all have many breasts. They all have many breasts. Now, folks, that's not an accident. That's not an accident. All right? Satan is the master imitator, and Satan wants you to believe that there is someone else who can take care of you. That's what he wants you to believe. But only God is the El Shaddai. Satan can only imitate what God has already initiated. God initiates and the devil imitates. That's just the way it is. So names in the Bible are significant. They mean something. And here in our text is the first time God calls himself El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Anytime you're reading your Bible and you read the Almighty God, that is El Shaddai in the Hebrew Bible. Every time, without exception, without exception. And so God reveals this name and reveals to us in this name that He is not just able or adequate or enough. God is showing us that He is more than able and more than adequate and more than enough. He is the many-breasted one showing us that He is much, the much able one. That's our God. He can provide. He can meet our needs. Now, to launch in to the thought tonight, I want you to think with me, and let's parallel, let's use a little illustration here, but I want you to think with me for a moment. A mother brings home a baby from the hospital. Now, if the baby is on a bottle, then regular milk is just not enough. You got to get that stuff that smells so bad and put it in that bottle. I mean, that stuff will gag you. It's terrible. But you got to get that powder and put it in there. Regular milk is just not enough. There has to be a supplement. But now, wait a minute. God has so created us that if that baby nurses, mother's milk is almost always just what is needed. Now follow me. The baby has needs. And God, in His marvelous plan, has given mama the ability to supply her baby's needs. All right, now, notice three things. First of all, notice that mother supplies with power. Mother supplies with power. You bring that little baby home, that little baby is weak. That little baby is helpless. It needs mom's constant attention. I mean, that baby needs strength and needs nourishment. And mother is the source of the child's power and growth and strength. Without mom, that baby is not going to make it. God is saying that He is our power. God has never birthed a child into His family, but what He made the provision of spiritual nourishment for that child. You see, folks, right here is your nourishment. Right here is your nourishment. Right here in the house of God is your nourishment. And God has provided everything that you and I need. I've said this so many times in this church, but God does not, when you get saved, God does not lick your back, throw you against a wall, and hope you stick. No, He has provided everything you need so you can grow, so you can develop, so you can be strengthened. Listen, you show me a deficient Christian, and I'll show you a Christian who has not availed himself or herself to the Almighty in order to get strength. Now, Abraham needed this promise of power when God gave it. You say, well, how so, Pastor? Again, look at verse 1. He's 99 years old. He doesn't have a child. When God made this promise to him, he was 1 year shy of 100. Wait a minute. His wife is 90. They have no children. And yet God says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you and your seed. I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to multiply your seed. It's no wonder Abraham fell at the Lord's feet. He needed power. He needed some help here. If you look at verse 5, you will see that God promised Abraham that I will make you many nations from you. Many nations. And I submit to you, folks, that Abraham needed power in a time of weakness. How in the world are we going to have a baby? I'm sure that crossed his mind, don't you? How in the world are we going to have a baby? I'm 99 years old. We can't, there's no way. Now look here, folks. Before God tells him the promise, notice this. He tells him that he is the many-breasted God, the El Shaddai, the more than sufficient, the more than enough, the more than adequate. You see, Abraham was not sufficient, and Sarah was not sufficient. But thank God there was one whom Abraham could lean on when he needed power. Thank God that the Lord was there so that the Lord could give him the power. He is the Almighty, the El Shaddai. And as we grow, we need power. Right after you get saved, you need the power. I think that's one reason why. You know, you bring that baby home and they say that mom's milk works as a natural strengthening of the immunity system for that baby. And that baby is immune from the viruses and the plagues and all the stuff that go around for several months. For several months. And let me tell you something. God did that. I mean, that's kept our little ones from getting sick from the cold and dying from it. So God did that. And in the same way, I think God gives that new convert a little burst of energy and a little burst of wanting to learn and wanting to grow and helps them along. They're sort of immune for a little while to the devil's temptations. They got a little strength in them. Now, as we grow, we need power. We need strength to spiritually grow. We need strength to overcome sin. We need strength to defeat the devil when he comes after us. We need strength to get up and leave our nice warm house and go out and get in a cold car and drive to church and have to park on the back 40 and walk all the way in with a 30 mile an hour wind. We need strength when that happens. So Abraham had to lean on God. And as we grow, we need to do the same thing, folks, because our God supplies us with power so we can learn and walk in Him. Second thing I want you to see. Secondly, mother lullabies with peace. Mother lullabies with peace. Mom gives that baby a peaceful heart. I mean, if in the middle of the night the baby has a dream or a noise frightens the child or they get hungry, in the midst of the silence of the night comes this cry, or I guess I should say scream, and mother bounds out of bed and runs to the baby and then changes the diaper, sits down and in a rocker and nurses that child, holding that child as close to her as she can. And she hums a soothing little lullaby, nursing away the fears, nursing away the terrors that woke that little baby up to begin with. And Christian, listen, when you are fearful, I mean, when the devil gets after you, you will find your El Shaddai is there and you can run to his side and the El Shaddai becomes our peace. The El Shaddai, the God, the Almighty God becomes our peace. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." In 1 John 4:18, John said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." And my friend, God loves you, and when you're fearful, and peace is a million miles away, God, your God, is the El Shaddai, and he's right there by your side to draw you close to him and to sing you a little lullaby and give you peace. That's your God. Just look at Jacob. Just look at Jacob. Go over to chapter 28 for just a minute. Chapter 28. Look at verse 1. "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, in other words, his grandfather, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother, in other words, your uncle. Verse 3, and who? The Almighty God. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. So, look at 35, chapter 35. Here's old Jacob now, and he's out. All right, he's just about lived his life. But look at 35 and verse 11. And God said unto him, I am who? El Shaddai. Yes, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Look at chapter 43. Chapter 43. And verse 14. Verse 14. And who? God Almighty, El Shaddai. And El Shaddai give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Look at 48 and verse 3. 48 and verse 3. Still talking about Jacob here. He's on his deathbed now. Chapter 48 and verse 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, and the hand in the land of the Canaanite, and blessed me. So with each of these verses going along in the life of Jacob, you can just see the Lord with him at every step. Who was that Lord? It was God Almighty, the El Shaddai. And he promised him. Now, think about it. He had to run out of the house. Remember that? He had to run to get away from Esau. His mother said, Esau's going to kill you. You better get out of here. And so he took off and he faced fear from Esau. Then he was out there alone and he faced fear from the Canaanites. But God met with him and gave him peace. And then in chapter 43, he has to send his youngest son, Benjamin, back to Egypt. He doesn't know that Joseph is down there calling the shots, but he has to send Benjamin down to Egypt, his beloved son of Rachel. And Rachel, his mother, died when she gave birth. And then on his deathbed, he again says, the El Shaddai will take care of you. So all the way along, I mean, if anyone was weak spiritually, it was Jacob. He was the weakest of all the patriarchs. And if anyone was fearful, it was Jacob. I mean, you remember when he had to go meet with Esau? And he was scared to death. And the Lord showed up and he got in a wrestling match with him. And the Lord promised him that he would meet his needs. Why? Because he's El Shaddai. That's why. He's the all-sufficient one. And my dear friend, if God can take care of a rascal like Jacob, mark it down, he can take care of you. He's the El Shaddai. And then lastly, I want you to see, mother satisfies the baby's portion. Mother satisfies the baby's portion. You see, mama is nursing that baby. That little baby nurses, and when he or she gets full, those little eyes start to close. And then he will nurse a little more, and then he'll doze. And then nurse a little more, and then doze. And after a while, when he's completely full, completely satisfied, that little baby is going to go to sleep. And the baby finds in mama sufficiency. Mama has everything that baby needs. And the baby finds sufficiency. You see, there's hope. God provides for his own. He supplies all we need. Listen, folks, there's help. There's help when the inner man gets hungry. There's one to whom you can cradle up in his arms, and he will deliver you a portion that will satisfy and meet your every need. Now, some of you, I don't know that there's many. Most of them have left. But some of you want the church to be your portion. You want the church to be your portion. Some want their brethren to be their portion. Millennials want their friends to be their portion. And some want their feelings to be their portion. But my dear friend, there is one who sits on heaven's throne, and he alone is the only one who can be your portion. We wonder why things don't satisfy. We wonder why the church doesn't satisfy. We wonder why the singing doesn't satisfy. We wonder why sometimes our family doesn't satisfy. It's because we've got our eyes on everything except Jesus. We got our eyes on the wrong things, folks. And God has so created this world in which we live to where he and he alone is the only one who can satisfy the longing in our souls. Amen. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is the lover of our souls. He is our brother. He is our bread and our door and our light. I'm saying, folks, that God, the Almighty God, meets the needs of our souls. Amen. The Lord is all you need. You say, well, I didn't get a whole lot out of that sermon this morning. Well, it all depends on what you're looking for to satisfy your soul. You see, if you're looking for the sermon, you probably were a little disappointed. If you were looking for the sermon, I'm pretty sure you probably left here a little discouraged. If you're looking for a feeling, I tell you how to get a feeling. Turn your television set on, rip the back out of it, and then stick your hand in there. That'll get you a feeling. If that's all you want's a feeling, then go for it. You see, but if you're looking for the Almighty, you won't leave him without your soul being satisfied. You see, folks, we're just all turned around. We're looking for the blessing instead of the one who blesses. We're looking for a gift instead of the giver. We're looking for the provision instead of the provider. We're looking for the benefits instead of the benefactor. We're looking for the his when we ought to be looking for the him. It's just that simple, folks. When the baby gets hungry and the pacifier won't work and the thumb won't work, the baby is hungry and wants to be satisfied. And when the inner man, the spiritual man, longs for satisfaction, The pacifiers of religion are not going to work. The pacifiers of Christianity and churchianity are not going to work. We need God. And not just God, we need the Almighty God, the El Shaddai. He is our strength when we're weak. And he is our peace when we're fearful. And he is our portion when we're hungry. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I recently read an article about this verse. A fellow talking about the little phrase there, looking unto Jesus. And he said that his Bible teacher in college said that the word means looking away from everything else. All right, you just got your eyes focused on Jesus. You're looking away from everything else. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but it's looking away from what you're going through and keeping your eyes on the Lord. You say, but Pastor, you don't know my problem. No, I don't know your problem, but I'm telling you, your problem is this. You're looking at your problem. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Let him help you with your problem. You say, but Pastor, you don't know my heartaches. No, I don't know your heartaches, but it's looking away from your heartaches. That's what you need to do. Isn't it wonderful to know that the God you serve is able to meet your every need? That's our El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. He gives you strength when you're weak. He gives you peace when you're fearful. And he gives you portion when you're hungry.